Father, we thank you this morning that in your presence there's fullness of joy, God. Father, we thank you, God, that in your presence there's peace for us, Father. We thank you, God, that we could worship you in the beauty of your majesty this morning. Father, we declare, Lord God, that we are desperate for you, God. We're desperate for your presence, Father. Father, this morning we thank you, God, for who you are in our lives, Father, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Father, we declare your lordship over us this morning, God. We pray, God, that you have your way in us, God. You may be seated. Wow. Everyone looks so beautiful this morning. Just look at the person next to you and just say, I love that smile on your face. Did you see what just happened? Nobody was smiling. But the moment you said, I love this, everybody's like, yes. Everybody was showing their Colgate smile this morning. It's such an honor and a privilege for me to be sharing this morning. But before I share the word with us, I just want to say a very warm welcome to our first-time visitors. We hope that you're going to enjoy the service with us. And please, after the service, there is coffee for you. And we serve Thibodeau here at church. So after the service, Pastor Richard and myself will be there and having a lekker cup of coffee with you. Amen. So last week, Sunday, I could not but, you know, be taken back of when I just got saved because we looked at the video of, like, getting to know the weights. And I remember it was in 2007 when I first met Pastor Richard. And it was at one of our youth camps, and he just came to lead worship. And in that moment, Pastor Richard was just there, you know, doing his thing like this morning. And he got his guitar, and he started worshiping. And I just looked at him, and I just looked at his passion in his face. It was like, you know what, he knows what he's doing. And I'm like, man, I long for that. Because there was such an intimate time in the presence of the Lord. And I'm like, no, I've got to get some of what he's having. Because it's such a beautiful thing. And I could remember the song that he sang was that song of Chris Tomlin. And the words goes like, hear the holy roar of God resounds. Watch the waters part before us now. Come and see. Come and see what he has done for us. And in that moment, I remember it was just a bunch of teenagers there. And we were like, okay, the world needs to see what God has done. The world needs to know about this Jesus that we worship. And in that moment, you get this bunch of teenagers. And believe it or not, I was shorter than where I am right now. And we were like jumping, singing, shouting for joy. Saying, you know, our God is a God who reigns. And there was so much fire in what we're doing. We're like so desperate for God. And I'm like, yes, man, this is it. And after the camp, it was like, it didn't die there. The fire was still there. I remember going back to my school. And everybody, when they saw him, it was like, ah, here comes the O again. And I'm like, brother, you go this way, I'll find you on the other side. So it was like this thing of like, you know, I cannot but speak. And my team, like the Teens Ignited Youth Leaders, we're like, we cannot but speak of what God has done. And you know what? We went to our schools, started ministering the word of God, and it was such a beautiful thing, knowing that, you know what, God has given us so much boldness to actually speak and to stand up for his word. And I remember just standing on the stage there, and the first message I preached was Proverbs 3 verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And there was so much zeal, passion. And I'm like, man, I don't want this to ever die down. And I'm like, I cannot but speak of what God has done in my life. And I remember, church, you know, it's so exciting just to be taken back about what the Lord has actually done in your life. And this is what I usually do, actually, in my life. When I'm just feeling a bit down, I just remind myself of the faithfulness of God. What God has done, and I'm like, okay. Yeah, man, you come with that. I can do this. With God, I can do this. And so we got hold of the scripture, Romans 1 verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel
of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. And we're like, okay, so we've got this scripture, and this is for salvation. A lot of our people, a lot of our friends don't know God. What are we going to do about it? What am I going to do about this? What are you going to do about this once you read scriptures like this? Are you going to be like, you know what, this is amazing, but I'm following Jesus, and I'm ministering to people in my heart, just in my heart. And with this being said, I want us to remind us of a game that we used to play before we had Xboxes and PlayStation. The game was Simon Says. You would say, Simon says, pat your head, and everybody goes. Simon says, jump around, and you jump. Simon says, do this, and you do it. But you know what? Following Jesus is a completely different thing. Jesus calls us. He says, you know what? Come and follow me. Yeah, I'm following in my heart. When Jesus speaks about something, we do it in our hearts instead of like doing it outwardly, instead of ministering outwardly. It's like we're saying, okay, no. Simon says this, but Jesus says this. Simon says. And we're following what we're desiring at this stage. We're not ministering as we should be ministering. And I'm like, okay, Jesus says it's a completely different game. When Jesus speaks, we ought to listen and obey. When Jesus speaks, we do as he says. We must do. Not holding back anymore. Church, this morning, I just want to say, even though we are so fired up for the Lord, bunch of teenagers, you know what? We did face opposition in our schools. We did face people that didn't want to hear about the gospel. People will bring us down. I remember a friend of mine, his name is Quinn. I'm going to share a bit more about him later on. He started a prayer group at his school, the Passionate Prayer Group. And the guys were so, the school was so against them, they actually changed the name of the group to the Powerpuff Guys. So in that moment, the guys could have been like, you know what, you guys are teasing us. There's opposition. We might just, you know what, throw in the towel right now. But they pushed through. They pushed through everything. Everything that was against them, they were like, this is not going to stop us. This is not going to stop us. We love God. And you guys need to hear about Jesus. And I've got to say, we saw a whole lot of people coming to salvation. And it was just beautiful. Worship stream was so full of Teens Ignited members. Because we decided, we're not going to hold back anymore. Popularity for us is not something that bothers us. We're not here for popularity. We're here to be ministers of the word of God. So come what may, we're not going to stop. So the title of the sermon this morning is being persistent. And being persistent simply means continuing firmly in an opinion or a course of an action in spite of difficulty or opposition. And with that being said, I've got to say this. On Friday, I invited David over to my house, and we started playing a game. We started playing, Pro Evolution Soccer on the Xbox. And the first match, it's like, okay, I beat David. And I'm like, okay, this is going to be an amazing day. And I don't know what did David do. Maybe he rubbed his beard a bit or something like that. But he came back, and he started scoring. He started scoring, and I'm like, I'm the owner of the Xbox. I should be beating this man at this game. And he's just there doing his thing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 goals, and I'm standing on 0. And I'm like, okay, you know, with Xbox, you can do a rematch. We did another rematch. Church, 4-0. Another rematch, 3-0. And now I'm thinking, man, Master Satan is getting kind of late. You must go home. Or what? So in the evening, I'm just thinking of ways to beat David. And I'm like, I cannot just give up like this. I cannot give up like this. I mean, like, I'm going to be preaching on Sunday about being persistent. I am not going to quit. So the whole evening I'm sitting there. Okay, this is what I must do, and this is what I must do, this is what I must do. So yesterday he comes to my house again, and we're busy playing. And as we're playing, Moja's in the game. Moja. And I'm hoeing the goals. And I'm looking at it. It's like, yes, you're getting good, huh? And I'm like, yeah, beat that, bro. And we're going. Yes, I don't know what went wrong. He came back. And he started shooting. And the goals were coming in like a hurricane. And I'm like, it's okay. But it's not okay. I'm still going to rematch him maybe next week again. But the thing about being persistent is that, you know what? When David scored those 5 goals, I could have said to myself, yeah, enough is enough now. I'm just going to switch off the Xbox and David and I will just drink coffee and that's it. But, church, that's not going to produce anything. That's not going to produce anything. And I want to read us the scripture from Luke 18, verse 1 to 8. Then he spoke a parable to them that men ought to pray and not lose heart, saying there was a certain city, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard men. Now there was a widow in that city. She came to him saying, get justice for me, for my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard men, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual, everybody say continual, coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, the Son of Man, will he really find faith on the earth? Looking at this verse, we always ought to pray. And how many times have we prayed and have we lost heart? How many times have we come to the point of, you know what, I've prayed enough now and nothing is happening. I'm just going to throw in the towel. And we sometimes want to sing that song of François van Kook. Ek het genoeg gegee, ek het genoeg geskree. And we just want to throw in the towel. Because we feel like God is not answering. And I want to say to us this morning that unanswered prayer is not the absence of God. It's just the strengthening of your faith. I'm going to say that again. Unanswered prayer is not the absence of God, but the strengthening of faith. And I remember when my grandma got sick. It was 3 years ago. She fell so ill. And I continued to pray for her. I continued to pray day and night for her. And nothing happened. You see, in that moment, I could have said, you know what? Okay, that's it. I've prayed enough. I fasted enough. I'm just going to give up now. I'm just going to give up. Because at the end of the day, she still went to be with the Lord. I could have been upset. But I said to myself, no. This is just to strengthen my faith. And I remember at her funeral, there was a pastor that was speaking. The Friday night, in our black culture, what happens is, the Friday night, there's a whole lot of singing. There's a whole lot of preaching. And I remember the pastor asked the question, is there someone that wants to share something? And I'm like, yeah, I am. And I remember walking to the front and started speaking about the Lord. All my cousins, my uncles, my mom and dad, everybody was there. And I was speaking about the goodness of God, speaking about salvation. And that evening, my cousins, my wormies, they came to salvation. And I was like, listen, I will not stop praying just because something didn't come through for me. And church, I want to encourage us this morning. Let us not lose heart. Let us not lose heart. Let us carry on. Let us carry on praying. And there's a picture that's going to come up now. And everybody knows this scripture. But I'm going to read it from Luke 15, verse 5 to 10. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him, because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened to him or her. I remember I was having a chat with Johnny, Tani Delesti, actually half of the church, and just telling them that I need a place to stay. And my wife and I, we were praying and praying and praying and praying. And every time Tani Delesti looked at me, she's like, Moja, have you found a place? And I'm like, no. She's like, we will continue to pray. And I'm like, okay, we're going to continue praying. And we trusted the Lord, and then something happens. A friend of ours from La Petite's like, listen, I'm going to move out so that you guys can get a place. And we're like, yes, God, this is amazing. So that week, I'm on my way. I'm going to Porch. I'm driving there. And when I come back, I said to my wife, listen, you're going to have a meeting with this person to get us that place. My wife's like, okay, cool. I'll do it. So my wife has a chat with the guy. And the guy's like, yeah, no problem. You guys got the place. And my wife phones me, and I'm so excited over the phone. And my landlord, where I was staying, is like, listen, I need an answer. Are you guys going to move out, or are you guys going to stay? I'm like, listen, we're moving out. And, you know, I say it with such strong conviction, like, yes, the Lord has answered. I get back that Sunday. I phone the guy. And the guy's like, yeah, no. I'm still going to have a chat with your friend, and I'll get back to you. But you said. And now, my wife asked me, how did it go? I'm like, yeah. He said they'll get back to us. And she looks at me, she's like, are you okay? And I'm putting on a face now. Of course I'm okay. Everything is fine. In my heart, I'm like, Lord, what are we going to do? What are we going to do in this situation? So we're waiting and we're waiting, and the guy doesn't reply. And I speak to my friend, and the person is like, listen, he's not going to give you guys the place. Just like you, I was so silent. I didn't giggle. It was just silence. I get to my office, go to Pastor Pianza's office while you are still pastoring here. I'm like, Big T, we need to pray. This is the situation. It's like, okay, champ, let's do it. We started praying. I got David to pray. I got the interns to pray. At intercession, all of us were praying. Johnny was praying. Everybody was just there like, listen, Moja and Mariel are going to get a place in Franschhoek. And it didn't seem like we were going to get the place. But because we kept on being persistent in our prayers, Lord, we need you right now. Now, you need to intervene in this situation. Then Pastor Dianz called me into his office like, listen, how about you guys just move into the hotels? And I'm like, you know what? We're so desperate. We'll take anything. We'll take anything. And then him and Pastor Richard pulled some strings. And you know what, church? The Lord answered our prayers. We found a place in Franschhoek, and it was so stressful knowing. I'm not going to lie and say, you know what, I had super faith right there. It was out there for everybody to see. There was times where I felt like, you know what, Can I just throw this in and look for a place in Paul? Can I just throw this in? Can I? But no. No, I'm not going to throw this in. I'm not going to throw in the towel. Just because it seems like I'm not getting anywhere. I am not. And with this thing of being persistent, still I was in porch and a friend of mine came to me during the day and he's like, listen, I'm going to George on a mission. Can your dad service my car? I'm like, yeah, sure, he will. My dad sorted the car out. But 3 o'clock in the morning, the guys are supposed to be on the way. He puts in petrol and checks his oil. And then his bonnet doesn't want to close. Who's the first guy he's phoning? He phones Moja. 3 o'clock in the morning. Phone rings, I ignore it flat. It rings again, I'm like, ignoring the phone, man. I'm like, no, let me just answer. He's like, hey, bro, how's it? And he's talking to me like it's like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So much energy. And I'm like, what's up, bro? He's like, listen, bro. Yeah, man, we're on our way to George. And everything's so amazing. God's so passionately loving us. Everything is happening. But, bro, listen, the bonnet doesn't want to close. And I look at this and I'm like, oh my word, he expects me now to wake up and to come to him. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, okay, Bruce, so where are you? He's like, bro, I'm outside your house. Yes. And I'm like, okay, okay, okay. And I come out there and I'm trying to fix this thing. And I'm like, I'm not getting this thing right. And now I'm like, okay, bro, I'm going to have to wake up my father. He's like, okay, cool. I wake up my dad. My dad is like, no, it's way too early. And we go out, and my dad is like trying to sort this thing out. Then he realized, actually, the hook on the bonnet is broken. So there's no fixing this thing. Bro, you're going to have to come in the morning, wait for the shop to open so that we can get that hook and pop it on the bonnet. He's like, yeah, bro, we have to leave now. And I'm like, okay, we'll find a way. So we took a rope and tied it down to his engine. And he started driving. And it's like, yes, amazing. Now I'm going to go back to sleep. 5 o'clock in the morning. Major, bro, how's it? Like, good. It's like, listen, bro, we encountered a problem with one of our cars. Can you please come and tow us back? Church, I've got to confess, I got a bit irritated in that moment. Like, this guy knows. I just came to visit my family for just like a weekend, and he's asking me to do all these things. And he was so persistent, like, bro, like, please, man, we need you, like, please. And I'm like, okay. Then I drive out, get to the petrol station. Once I get to the petrol station, he's like, he phones me again. It's like, bro, listen, we're just going to drive back slowly. You don't have to come. And I'm like, okay. I go back to my house, parking lot. Major, bro, the car is overheating again. Please come. In that moment, church, I'm like, listen, this bro is taking me. Like the guys in prison would say, you offered me for a pop now. And I'm like, no, enough is enough now. I got in my car and I drove. I drove my little kariki. And he's like so excited to see me. And I'm giving him the look like, but he's like, he's not worried about the look. And I'm like, the look is not working, Moja. So I just tow his car. We go back to Porsche. But you see, he did not quit. He woke me up 3 o'clock in the morning, being persistent. And he's like, I am not going to let Moja go. I'm going to continue to knock. I'm going to continue to ask. And Moja will come and tow my car. Imagine if we had that same attitude, church. Like, okay, listen. No. I'm going to keep on praying. I'm not going to stop praying. Come what may, I am not going to stop praying. And this morning, I just want us to look at a few people that were persistent and never gave up. Can we get that slide up, please? Who can tell me, who's this guy? I get it, Joseph. Joseph. I hear Joseph. Anybody else? Well, somebody said Peter. Peter? Daniel? Jacob? Say that again. Jacob. Let's read from Genesis 32, verse 24 to 28. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. Now, when he saw that he did not prevail against them, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" He said, "I am Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." Look at the words of Jacob. "I will not let you go. I won't just give in." He was persistent and he persevered. And the angel of the Lord says, "You are no longer going to be called the Jacob," means the supplanter, the holder of the heel, or the deceiver, but Israel. "For you have prevailed." The Lord prevails. The Lord prevails. Jacob did not quit. Jacob wrestled because he was tired of being called a deceiver. He was tired of being called a supplanter. It's like, no. This name is not working for me. And I am not going to throw in the towel. I am not just going to give up. I'm not just going to give in now. No. I will not let you go until you bless me. During the week here at church, yes, we pray, but sometimes I wrestle David. And in our wrestling matches with David, I pin him to the ground. And it's like, you know what, I used to do that with him, but since he turned 30, I decided, no, I'm not going to wrestle with David. He's at that age now, so. So we used to wrestle, David and I. And you know what? I would just pin him on the ground, and David would not do anything. Then I'm like, okay, I've beaten this guy. Then I went to the other office. I went to Tian's office, and I wrestled with him. Asked David what happened. He wrestled back. And he pushed me like I was nothing. And that's it. Church, we're not just going to give in. Let's look at the other picture. Who is that guy? From Johnny Elijah. Let's read from 1 Kings 18, verse 41 to 46. Then Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." So Ahab went up to eat and drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, Mount Carmel. Then he bowed down to the ground and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." So he went up and looked, and he said, "There's nothing." And seven times he said, "Go again." What did Elijah continue to do when he sent his servant? He continued to pray. Elijah didn't throw in the towel. He continued to pray. He continued to pray. Let's pick up from verse 44. Then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, "There is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising from the sea." So he said, "Go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you." Church, Elijah kept going and going and going and going and going. And it's as Pastor Richard said to us last week, every day he's praying, "Lord, protect my family." Every day, "Lord, protect them, protect them, protect them." He doesn't stop. He doesn't stop. Elijah didn't stop. And I just want to show us a video quickly.
Such a feeling's coming over me. There is wonder in most everything I see. Not a cloud in the sky, got the sun in my eyes, and I won't be surprised if it's a dream. I'm on the top of the world.
This is the end, beautiful friend. This is the end, my only friend. The end of our elaborate plans. The
what were the words of the song? This is the end. This is the end, my only friend. How many times do we feel like this is the end, my only friend? How many times do we feel like that? But for the mouse, this was not the end. He was down. I mean, like, looking at him, lying on the ground, or lying on that, what do you call that? That mouse trap. It's like you can see everything he will try is not going to work. But this is not the end for him. He grabbed that thing and he started benching it. It's like, no, I'm not going down like this. I am not going to go down like this. He did not quit, but he pushed through. He refused to die. No funeral today, says the mouse. I will not die. The cheese has given me strength, so I will carry on. Let's read from next picture, please. Who can tell me? Who is that? The lady with the flow of blood, wanting to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. Luke 8, verse 40 to 50. So it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitude thronged him. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. Imagine this, church. For 13 years you've been suffering, and you hear there's someone that's coming. You hear that Jesus is around. Jesus is going to come through. And you're thinking, there's so many people. How am I going to pass through everybody? I mean, like, people were everywhere. And she's just thinking, nothing is going to stop me. Nothing is going to stop me. There's people in my way, but I need to get to Jesus. What am I going to do? I mean, like, it's like all of us standing here and Jesus is in front of us and the lady is at the back. Do you think that made her stop and say, you know, I am not going to do this because there's so many people looking at me. There's so many obstacles in my way. What am I going to do? Am I going to take my towel, my little brown towel, and am I going to throw this in because there's obstacles on the road? am I going to quit? She's like, no, no, no. But she pushed through the crowd. She pushed through everything she was facing, every obstacle in front of her. She's like, I will not quit until I touch the hem of his garment. In that moment, what happened? She received the healing. She was being persistent and she persevered. Now I want us to bring it home. Next picture. I want us to bring this one home a bit. I had a chat with Johnny during the week. And I asked him a simple question. How was it when you guys wanted to start the church in Friendship? He's like, my brother, we faced a lot of opposition. We faced a lot of opposition. People knew us as the guys that are different. Nobody wanted to come here. And he said these words to me. But late in the evening, when people needed prayer, they would go to their house. But they did not want to be associated with them in the church. And he told me that they were going to start the church at the hostel. But that didn't work out because everybody was like, no, 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 no. We're going to renovate this place and we're going to start something else there. Whole lot of opposition. But, you know, what encouraged me from this story is that he said, you know what, Moja, my brother, we didn't stop praying. We did not stop praying. They pushed through everything. They persevered. In the midst of adversity and opposition, they were persistent in their prayers. We can also push through and be persistent in our prayers. We are in this building because people did not stop praying. We are here fellowshipping with one another, praising the Lord together because of people that never threw in the towel, regardless of what was happening. Next picture, please. Who's that? I was expecting the whole church to go like, Jesus. This was Jesus. And Pastor Richard also shared this scripture with us last week. Matthew 26, verse 36 to 46. Excuse me. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. And he began to be sorrowful, deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. Guys, pray with me because like I'm going to go through something right now. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. If Jesus threw in the towel, where would we be? If Jesus decided, you know what, no, I'm not going to go die on that cross for these people. I'm just going to be like, this is the end. They are not my only friends. I've got angels up there. If Jesus said that, where would we be? Where would we be today? Jesus pushed through. Let's look at verse 39 again. If it's possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And I love this quote by Leonard Ravenhill. And he says this, no man is greater than his prayer life. The pastor who is not praying is playing. The people who are not praying are straying. We have many organizers, but a few agonizers. Many players and payers, but a few prayers. Many singers, but a few clingers. Lots of pastors a few restless, many fears and a few tears, much fashion and less passion, many interferers, few intercessors, many writers, but a few fighters. Failing here, we fail everywhere. If we fail in our prayer life, we fail everywhere. In closing, I just want to read a few scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Galatians 6, verse 9. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Philippians 1:6. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of his Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Church, this is not the time to throw in the towel. No matter how you feel, there's still hope. There's still hope. We're not going to throw in the towel. We're going to keep on praying. You can pray through every situation in your life. You can keep on going because Christ kept on going. He kept on going. He knew what was waiting for him on the other side, but he still chose to go through it so that you and I can be reconciled to the Father. Christ did not throw in the towel. And we're not going to throw in the towel. If God is for us, who can be against us? Remind yourself of the faithfulness of the Lord. And from there, take courage, knowing that in Hebrews 13, verse 5, he said, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. And you can say with confidence that the Lord is your helper. Church, most of the time we become apologetic in our prayers. And we need to get to a stage where we get a bit rough. And we pray. And we intercede. Like we'll never get an opportunity to intercede. I remember once standing in worship. One of my friends is like, Lord, I'm going to worship you like this is the last time I'm ever going to worship you. And I was blown away by what this guy was saying. And that moment just changed my life. Like, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I'm going to worship. I'm going to push through everything. I'm going to push through everything. Church, this morning, can the ushers bring the communion, please? I just want to read us a scripture. Can the band come up also, please? I want to read us a scripture from 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Take this and eat, for this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.
For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. As the ushers are handing out the communion elements, I just want to pray for us. Father, take us back to the place where we used to believe your word, God. Where we used to believe, God, that with you, God, we can do the impossible, Father. Because you said what is impossible with man is possible with you, Father. I pray, Heavenly Father, God, that you just remind us, Lord God, of the days when you just saved us, Lord God. The faith that we had, Father. The courage that we had, Lord God, to keep on going for you, Lord. And I pray, God, that as we eat this body, Lord God, and drink, Lord God, of this cup, I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord God, that you will give us the strength to carry on and not stop praying, Father. We just want to thank you for your faithfulness, God. Father, we thank you, God, for your body that was broken for us. Oh, Lord, we thank you that you chose, God, for your body to be broken, Father. Let us eat together. Lord, we also thank you for your blood that was poured out for us, Father. We thank you, God, that your blood cleanses us, God. In Jesus' name, let us drink together. This morning, if you just need a bit of encouragement to just carry on, to not throw in your towel and you just want somebody to pray with you, please feel free to come to the front. There will be ministry facilitators willing to pray for you. Just want to close the service for us. Father, we thank you for who you are, God. I pray, Heavenly Father, God, that you will give us courage, Lord God, to go through this life, Lord God, knowing, God, that you are for us, Lord God, and you are with us, Lord God. I thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord God, that in this week, God, that you will prove your faithfulness once to us, Father. In every situation, Father, I pray, God, that we will give you thanks and we will give you honor and we will give you glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.